book called Ecclesiastes, and I want to read from its last chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we will begin our reading at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When the sun or the moon or the star, the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. I think you will agree that it's a very poetic passage. And the first reading of it, if that is your first reading, leaves you mystified as to what all those obvious symbols refer to. Solomon, a wise man, has pursued some meaning in life, and he has left on record in the book of Ecclesiastes his empty pursuit. He has tried in money and pleasures and fame and popularity to find something that is meaningful, something that is lasting, something of substance in life. He has been frustrated at every turn. He has suffered what so many philosophers down through the ages since him have suffered, a sense of emptiness, a sense of frustration, a sense of futility, that life is so meaningless, life is without a purpose somehow, it seems, and life is so unsatisfying. And then he comes to the end of his writing to remind us that after all the time that a man may have to pursue what this life has to offer, eventually the evil days come. If he is spared and has health for those years and is spared from accident, he begins to describe the mournful condition of the advance of years. I couldn't help but think as I was reading that there was just a little bit something too familiar about that, because I had to use my glasses. And Solomon was speaking about the ones that look through the windows being darkened. He's referring to sight not being what it used to be. And he's referring to deterioration in many parts of the body, the teeth, the grinding. The grinders become few, and the strong men, the back no longer erect. And all these things that Solomon is speaking about. And then he says what impresses me and what is on my mind for the meeting tonight. As things begin to crowd in, and the days are becoming short, this is really the ultimate matter, man goeth to his long home. His long home. In my university days, I remember some things that just were very subtly and quickly sown in our minds. And if you know very much at all about world history, you'll have learned this. You would take this for granted. The Dark Ages were the days when people were living with otherworldliness. They were so occupied with the other world, the unreal world is the implication, And they forgot about learning. They lived superstitiously. They lived in ignorance. There was no advancement in culture and technology, and they were dark ages. And so you would conclude that when men and women think too much about the other world, it's kind of linked to mental darkness. A lack of foresight and thought. A lack of real perception and worldly wisdom. I want very simply tonight to tell you that in those days I spent some time thinking over the whole thing, wondering if after all it is real, wondering if after all there is a heaven as I had been taught when I was a boy, and if there really is a hell, wondering really, could it be that this is the revelation of an unseen God, this Bible that we hold in our hands? And just simply enough, I'm going to tell you tonight, I have come to the conclusion that there is no other rational position than to believe that what this Bible says is true, and that beyond the world where you and I live, there is a long home to which we are going, and that really there is nothing more important in this world than matters that concern the next world. I'm interested in education. I spent some of my years in the field of education. I'm interested in progress as far as society is concerned. But above everything else that interests me, and I can say tonight, above everything else that interests the majority of people in this room this evening, there is the great issue of eternity. There is the great matter of your long home. You and I are not here to stay. This is not our home. And one of these moments we are moving, and we are moving to our long home, our eternal home. And your eternal home and mine must be either in heaven or in hell. And without being defensive and in any sense apologizing, I want to tell you tonight that I'm very interested in heaven. I am deeply thankful to God that I am bound for heaven. And any one of these days when I go, I'm going to be so glad to be on that other shore. There was a hymn that I only learned a little part of. We got a cassette tape at home. It's a cassette tape of piano playing. I liked it. It's good. And every once in a while, the man that plays the piano just interrupts the playing, and he sings along a little bit, but he only sings enough to give you just a line, and this is the only line I got of the hymn. Someday I'll be sleeping, and death knocks at my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore. I'll be home. I'm interested in my long home. If I can leave one impression on your mind tonight, I would like you to know that you will be listening to two men who believe in a real, factual, vibrant, is that a good word to use for the heaven I'm talking about? Heaven that is the home that we long for. And if I believe in the heaven that the Bible speaks about, I want to tell you tonight that as actual as the heaven that I call home is the long home of men and women who die without Christ, who die without forgiveness, who die in their sins. We believe in a burning hell. Not because we choose to believe in a burning hell. Not because we would like to give you something that will stir you and give you an interest in becoming religious. We believe in a burning hell above every other reason because the Lord Jesus said there was such a tragic place. And when we preach the gospel, there is a something that moves our hearts. We believe in a real burning hell to which men and women go in one split second
from earth to their long home,
heaven or hell. And could I tell you tonight, it is the eventual home of every person that is here. You can build around you every fabric of strength that you can find. You can eat health food. You can pay up your prescriptions and you can make sure that you're to the doctor every time you feel a twinge of pain. You can make sure you're selective and get the very best of medical care. You can drive your car carefully with both your hands on the wheel and keep your eyes skinned to see whatever danger there might be around you. But I want to tell you tonight that you and I are not going to be here forever. Eventually, we are going to our long home. Do you know that through this weekend, the people that have been meeting together here have been meeting together with one very real truth that has been filling their hearts. And that truth is that we could be home at any moment. Now that might seem strange to some. It might seem like a call back from the dark ages, but it's all right. It's what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus promised, His word is utterly reliable. If I go away, I will come again for you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Jesus has given us His word. And any one of these moments, now it might seem strange, but what we are living in the anticipation of is that even while you are listening in this meeting, there might be a sudden rustling and a strange, unexpected silence from this platform, and every person that is here will not be here. Every person that is really saved, suddenly, in a moment, they will be gone, and let me tell you, in case you have any questions, they'll be home. Just so suddenly. And what moves us as we speak the gospel is this. It is possible just so suddenly to go to your long home and to find out it's the wrong home. Suddenly, in a moment, to have traveled into eternity and to find that the home in which you must dwell forever is the place that the Bible calls hell. Just the last few weeks in the state of Michigan, while having meetings there, we were quite moved by the story in the newspaper of four young people. Now, they did a foolish thing. One of the girls was a girl that attended school regularly. Well, for whatever reason, she was a friend of the other girl. I can't tell you. The other girl hardly ever went to school. Two boys decided they would help the two girls in their mid-14 or 15, mid-teens. And they decided they'd help those two girls run away from home. And they kind of worked around the railroad yard. They got shooed away from it, but they made their way back somehow, and they boarded a freight train headed in toward Detroit. And they were afraid of being detected, so when the train slowed down and they would be coming into a station area, they went up on the roof of the cars, and then when the thing began to move a little more, they were away from where the people were, they came down and were in more safe surroundings. And on one of those times when she was coming down, one of the girls panicked. The train was going too fast, too quickly for her. What happened in that story is, that girl didn't make it, and a friend, one of the boys, went up to try to help her, and in just one moment, the train passed under an underpass, and those two dear young people were gone, suddenly. You wouldn't do a thing like that, I know you wouldn't. But you or I could be gone into eternity just that suddenly. Eventually, It may be far sooner than you think,
but eventually you must go to the long home.
I want to tell you that this long home involves what is indescribable. So if I'm telling you it's indescribable and then I try to describe it to you, you know I've got a formidable task to do. I'm interested in this, that the Lord Jesus said very little about what heaven was like. In fact, I'm not so sure I could tell you anything that he said heaven was like. But he did speak about people that will be there. I will come again and receive you unto myself. There are people who are going to be in heaven. And I'm very anxious to tell you tonight just a little something about the saints that are going to be there. Every person who will be in that long home is a person who has been born again. Last night we were reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I learned as a boy a song about heaven. And I think I can tell you tonight, 'tis only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. You must be born again if you're ever going to be in heaven. There must be a time in life when you have been made fit by God's great salvation, made fit to dwell in that eternal home called heaven. You see, you could go to church every Sunday for a life of 90 years, but you wouldn't be good enough for that home in heaven. You need a birth to be fitted for that home. You could drop every bad habit that you have, if you have any, but you wouldn't be good enough for that home in heaven. And I think I may be speaking to some in the meeting tonight, and you know you can't even drop those bad habits. Oh, I want to tell you tonight that there's a Savior who can save you and transform you in this life and fit you for a life in heaven. Grand thing to be born again. And I hope that there's someone in the meeting tonight and you're saying, but just a minute now, Mr. Preacher. You're telling us you're going to heaven and you have listed a lot of things and I could have listed a few more. And you're telling us that with all those things, a person's not good enough. You must think you are some kind of good. I'm glad you asked because I want to tell you I'm not. And I want to tell you how I know I'm going to be in heaven. Today's the 15th of April. Tomorrow will be the 16th of April. 29 years ago tomorrow, I started for heaven. I was 16 years old. When I come around this time of my anniversary, I'm so thankful to God. I'm thankful to God I'm saved every day, but it just brings it back to my heart with freshness. I was a boy of 16. Will you just let me tell you a little of the story? I was listening to the gospel being preached just as you are listening tonight. I began to long very much to know that I would be in heaven. I began to be deeply concerned because I knew that as I was going to hell. There was one thing that I had not really realized. I knew I had sinned, but I had failed to make a connection. I had failed to realize that because I had sinned, and because my sin was so grievous to God, for that reason I was going to hell. And on a Sunday night, this is a Sunday night, in the middle of April, this is the middle of April, 29 years ago, I left a gospel meeting. On my way out, I told one of the preachers, I would like to be saved. Never told anybody that before, I wouldn't have admitted that. But I got to the point that night that it didn't matter. If I miss God's salvation, what does it matter? The two men did their best to try to help me, and they did, but I wasn't saved when I left them. I went home, got alone in a room by myself, got the Bible out. If you're interested in being saved, the only place you're going to find a Savior is in the Word of God. And I was reading in the Bible, I knew some verses, and I tried them all, and nothing happened. I reached the point where I understood. It is either a matter of taking what God says, or you're going to be in hell forever.
Strange as it may seem to you, that was really no help to me, because I did not know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know what I would feel. I didn't know what this great transaction that I had heard about all my life would mean. I was in darkness, I was hopeless, and all I could see was at the end of whatever years of life I had, there was a long home in the depths of hell. Quicker than I'm telling you, I had just read Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And words of a hymn came into my mind. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. Oh, it's the happiest moment of my life that I'm telling you about. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. That's as far as I got in the verse of the hymn. Oh, I thought to myself, I will never be in hell. He bore my sins, he suffered for them. Didn't know whether I was saved or not, but I knew I would never be in hell. And I thought, I don't know what I've got. Wait a minute. He that believeth on the Son. How do you know your sins are gone? I know my sins are gone because the Lord Jesus suffered for them at Calvary. Well then, I've trusted him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And at that moment, I had everlasting life. I knew I had it. That means I was born again. That means at that moment, I was fit for heaven. And from that moment till now, my long home has been heaven. Oh, thank God for those in this meeting tonight that are ready for heaven. I wish every soul in this meeting tonight were ready for heaven. Because in heaven, I want to tell you what we'll be doing. We'll be singing in heaven. Last night, I was with, I don't know, somebody said 450 young people. I was glad to be there. It's getting distressing as the years pass that now I need an invitation to go to such things. But I was there. And I did my best to sing with them. Only my voice wouldn't stand what their voice would, so I had to give up a little. But we sang. Oh, we sang. And I was thrilled when we sang, because I think we might sing it in heaven. We sang, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. We were singing about the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight that what makes heaven heaven is that we'll be all occupied with the Lord Jesus. The man that died at Calvary's cross means everything to every soul that will be in heaven. If you are dreaming that you're going to be in heaven, and the Christ who died at Calvary means nothing to you, think again, my friend. You wouldn't fit in heaven. Heaven's song, heaven's subject is all about the Lamb who suffered and died. You know, I said to you that the Lord Jesus, as far as I can recall, did not describe what heaven will be like. Let me tell you what he did say. And just one statement from the Lord Jesus about what heaven will be is enough for me to know that I want to be there and I'll be happy there forever. He didn't describe the furniture. All he said is that where I am, oh, I'm longing to be with the man that died for me. I'm going to be singing his praises when a man died for me, when he gave his life in such agony at Calvary, when he suffered more than I will ever be able to describe or understand. All that my sins might be forgiven. All that I might be fitted for the place called heaven. Is it any wonder that I love him when I think of all he's done? My friend, tonight is a real living Savior, and our interest is that you too might come to know him. If you came to know him tonight, you'd start on the road to heaven. Oh, I wish you would. Long home, it's indescribable. Heaven. I'd rather just preach about heaven. I'd rather just think about heaven. I'd rather just step one day into heaven. But I have to tell you tonight about the other long home. secret of that long home is this, that the men and women who will be in that long home will be there for one reason. It is their sins. The reason there is eternal conscious punishment is because of sins against God. What seems to matter so little to you is of great significance to God, your sins. And I want to speak plainly tonight. Listen, if 100 years from now you look back from a place of torment and remember men that preached to you in the gospel, but it didn't seem like they really meant it. They seemed like they were rhyming off a subject they were familiar with, and it didn't really have any impact. God preserve us from such a thing. We believe in a real burning hell, and we are preaching tonight because we are concerned that there are some in the meeting tonight who are in for the surprise of their existence, that one of these moments they are going to wake up and find themselves in the long home of eternal punishment. I'm very thankful tonight to be able to preach the gospel with our dear brother Joyce. And as I thought of the opportunity of speaking with him, my mind went back to a meeting that I have spoken to him about a few times. It was a gospel meeting in which he was preaching. I was a boy of 12 years of age. It was a much smaller building than this. And it was in Nova Scotia, the area where I was born and raised. And we were crowded around. The boys were sitting on the platform, and Mr. Joyce preached that night with help from God. And I can still remember sitting on that platform that night and the tears running down my cheeks as I thought of the solemnity of what he was preaching. It was a conference gospel meeting. I think he has told me there were 5 souls that were saved that night. Is that right, brother? 5 men and women that came into that meeting unsaved, just the way you've come in. They left that meeting that night saved, and you could leave the meeting tonight saved. My mother said to me afterwards, because she was sitting out there and she could see what was going up here at the platform where I was sitting. She said, "David, you were wiping away the tears. Were you thinking about your soul?" I said to her, "Well, no, not really, Mother." And I told her the truth. I'm sorry to tell you, I told her the truth. I said, "No, not really, Mother. I was just thinking about how terrible it will be for people to die in their sins and be in hell." If there is anyone in the meeting tonight and you're thinking that this preaching is for someone else, could I kindly and tenderly tell you that there is the possibility, if you have never been born again, if you are still in your sins, guilty before God, your soul will go to its long home of eternal punishment. You, not the person next to you. Oh, that there might be some in the meeting tonight awakened. I am living one breath away from a long home of eternal suffering in my sins, indescribable. Let me add just one word to what I have said. It is a perpetual home. The word means everlasting, the long home. Oh, one of these days when I step on heaven's shore, I'm never coming back. Oh, I'm so glad heaven is forever. One of these days, if you die without our blessed Savior, if you die without being forgiven, if you die without being born again, young man, you're going to step into a long home from which you'll never come back. And the long home will be the eternal fire of God's judgment against your sin. I want to leave impressed on your mind tonight 2 things. I want to leave in your mind as you think about the long home of suffering and torment, this reality: my sin is so terrible that it demands such a long home, abandoned by God, suffering in my sins. My sins are so terrible. And if I can direct your thoughts once more to the home in heaven, I want to tell you tonight that the precious blood of Christ is enough to take any soul in this gathering tonight into the courts of heaven make you fit to dwell with God in that long home, to dwell in heaven for eternity. Oh, that you might know tonight the sin-cleansing power of the precious blood, that you might know the personal value of his sufferings at Calvary, that you might trust him, that your long home might be heaven.